Let's do it, bitch.
Welcome back to the Grim Reader and our second ever book club episode.
And our first ever time filming 2 days in a row.
I know. Look at us go. The two of us being like, we have to try and get episodes in.
Literally.
But, yeah. We have chosen to do The Flatshare by Beth O'Leary.
Yes. And if you do listen to the podcast, if this is your first time, first of all, let's get that out of the way. I'm Nikki.
I'm Rebecca.
And you're listening to the Grim Reader podcast.
Yes.
If this is your first time, you're listening to a very unusual type of episode because we're not going to do our usual shtick. Usually we will each pick a book, a different book to each other, and we'll make each other guess what the book could be about by judging a book by its cover. And then we give a book review. But this is another type of episode we do. This is our book club episode. And I actually did an episode with Becca on The Flatshare a couple of weeks ago, and she basically guessed what it was about. You were like,
I was close, but I was also very wrong. So
yeah, you were that. It was one of your closer calls to guessing the plot.
But I have since read it. I literally read it last week, I think, and I read it in the space of like 24 hours.
Yeah,
like I stayed
that
up.
Kind of book.
I actually think I started it at something like 4 o'clock, read it for about an hour, and then went downstairs, had dinner, like spent time with my family, did some work, and then when I was going back to bed at like 10:30, I was like, I'm gonna pick the book up again, and like stayed up till 1 a.m. to finish it. So
it's such a great book. Yeah, so this is The Flatshare by Beth O'Leary, and spoilers are absolutely going to happen because we're going to devour this book to shreds, in the most positive way, by the way.
Exactly.
That kind of sounds like it'd be a negative thing.
So the blurb of The Flatshare says, Tiffy and Leon share a flat. Tiffy and Leon share a bed. Tiffy and Leon have never met, which is immediately intriguing.
Amazing.
You know, they're like, because I mean, it's so intimate to share a bed with someone. With this, what happens in the book is that Tiffy needs to move out of her current living situation, and she doesn't have a lot of money, so she needs a cheap flat and
in London.
So I mean, basically impossible. She's looking at Mission Impossible here.
She's looking for a £400 rent situation.
She has come across this flatshare where she gets to use it from 6 o'clock at night till 8 o'clock in the morning, and the other person who lives there permanently will be using it during the day. So she is like, look, I have to go for this. This is the only situation I've come across. And that's how she ends up in the flatshare. So it's a really interesting thing. And yeah, we're just going to get into it.
Yeah.
And I mean, look, we're going to give away the whole plot of the book, really.
But to be honest, Beth O'Leary is such a gifted writer that even if you knew it all, I think you'd listen anyway.
I loved her style of writing.
Oh, she's so brilliant. I'd love to listen to this as an audiobook. I think it would be just as good. It's just so fun. And the words aren't, I don't know, sometimes writers are like, they curve on like too beautiful or too literal. And if it's too literal, it's boring. Audiobook or not, if it's too beautiful, it doesn't work as an audiobook. And she's right in the middle. She's just a delight.
Oh, she's just, worked she both really ways. Is she really is. And I mean, I think this book, there are a lot of content warnings I would give to someone going in to read it. We soon learn that Tiffy is, why she has to move is because she's out of a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Her ex-partner broke up with her 3 months ago, and he's actually moved on with another woman. He's left her for another woman, and we're kind of told in her narrative that she was like, oh, he's really kindly let me stay in the apartment for 3 months. And I mean, already in my mind I was like, I'm getting really big red flags. I'm already,
let's talk about Justin, the ex-boyfriend. Let's talk about Justin.
When I started reading this book, I had to message Nikki, and like I'll bring up the messages, but one of them was like, my hatred for Justin. Like, Justin is scum of the earth.
And me having read the book, I was like, Becca, I'm not gonna say a word, because I only knew you were gonna hate him more. and more.
Like, this was like at the beginning, but Justin is, we soon learned that his relationship with Tiffy was incredibly abusive, emotionally so. And he gaslit her the whole time, manipulated her, isolated her from people around her, and just
made comments on her body.
Completely just utterly broke her down. And we watch as she kind of begins to have memories and flashbacks, because her mind kind of shut those things off from her for a while.
That's one of my favorite things with the way Beth writes this book. I think she did that so well. Like, that felt, Tiffy felt real, and it the felt, way
it felt very natural when
the
it
way
happened.
The way she kind of realized all of these things after the relationship ended, it was just like of course she was protecting herself. And the moments she realized weren't like over dramatized or kind of underplayed. They were brilliant. And we'll get into Gertie and Mo and like Leon and how they care for her. And what's her other friend, Rachel, like how they look after her in these moments where she realized like how traumatized she is from Justin's actions in the past. Oh my God, they're the loveliest characters.
They absolutely are. I mean, I think when you have equally as lovable side characters in a book, you just know that that writer has spent time like completely fleshing them out.
And
like,
she had their loves own stuff her going characters.
And, it was absolutely beautiful. But with kind of going back to Tiffy and her relationship with Justin, he comes back repeatedly through the book. It's one of those characters that, you know, he's not there for, I'd say, the first half of the book, really, but he's mentioned a lot. So like there's that kind of sense of anticipation, but also kind of like, I don't want you to come back because I know you're not good for her.
And it's like when you're looking at the book and there's 200 pages left, you're like, oh no, how many more times do I have to deal with Justin? And he gets worse single time.
But I think it's as I think the way Beth O'Leary writes it, it's such a strong portrayal of someone who has left this kind of relationship. And kind of the measures that the abuser will then take when they're beginning to feel that they've lost control. And I mean, the ending is just
The way that escalates.
It's batshit at the end, lads. Okay. It is just.
This is now, if you are planning on reading this book, maybe pause this episode and come back here, because and then you can share our anger.
I don't think we're going to say what it is, though. I don't think we're going to say, but let's say Justin is involved at the end, and it's just insane. And I mean, this is a big spoiler, but we're going to have to talk about his proposal.
Yeah, no, that's what I mean.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the kicking the door down.
No. Oh. But no. So if you are going to read this book, I would say pause, because you'd say no, because Becca's like, give us the monetization. We're not actually
earning
able
any
to
money,
monetize
so it's fine.
For him. Yeah,
but there are situations he sends her really expensive flowers. He sends her like a text being like, oh, I can't wait to talk to you.
Dick to Leon.
He bumps into her like randomly at this bar where she's having a work event. And then the boat scene. He like just happens to be on a boat where they're doing a demonstration for this crochet book. And then
he's stalking her.
And then we get to this huge event for this book she's been working on. And like, it's she's really invested in it. She's finally got a promotion at work. And then the author is there thanking Rachel, the illustrator or the designer for it, and her editor, which is Tiffy. And they're going up and just giving flowers. And it's such a beautiful moment, because Catherine, the author, means so much to Tiffy. And she's just been her side woman for ages, and she believed in her and everything like that. And I think as well, it was a moment where we were kind of like, this is the recognition that Tiffy deserves.
I know. And
then out from the sidelines comes
Justin,
the scummy piece of crap that Justin
the clammy
is
Clem
with a microphone. Like, I think he grabs the microphone off Catherine and he proposes.
He just, it's literally like, that's like proposing at someone else's wedding. It's just, it was so fun. Like, even if they were in love, I would have been pissed off at him, because that was Catherine and Tiffy and Rachel's moment. And Justin, that fucking piece of shit, man. Oh God. And then the worst part of that whole thing is that he proposes to her on stage at this massive event.
And it's being like shown live.
It's
like,
being live streamed. Oh. And she's in a massive crowd of people, put under so much pressure to say yes. And she says no, runs away crying. But he then says, she said yes. God, it's awful. And the worst part is the guy the bit that broke my heart for her was the fact that the guy filming it for her was the guy tipping Justin off on where she was going to be.
I think that's another point we can get into, but like the whole thing with Justin, he is an absolute despicable character. Like, I hated him from literally the moment his name appears in print.
He's aptly named,
but I think Beth O'Leary, like, to see that kind of villain character, he is portrayed so well, and that kind of loss of control and like how kind of volatile he gets towards the end. Like, he is ready to up the stakes to try and win
her
back.
He goes off the rock.
It's really well done. But let's move on to something a little bit happier.
Can we talk about,
I'm going to ask you, favorite character.
Oh, that's really
It's
mean.
Really mean, but I'm going to ask.
Mo.
Oh, no. I thought you were going to go with Tiffy, because like,
no,
Leon and Tiffy.
Oh, and Richie.
My favorite.
Oh, I love Richie as well.
Let's get into Mo. Angel Mo. Mo is one of Tiffy's closest friends, and he is a therapist, psychologist. Mm-hmm. And Mo is just, he's like a laid back man, but he's so completely devoted to helping Tiffy out. And because of his expertise, he knows that she's going to start experiencing trauma from the relationship.
And what I love is he didn't kind of like, when it came to Tiffy having her moments of, oh, should I go back to Justin? He just calmly leads her to the answer. He doesn't really tell her. He's like, are you sure? When she gets those flashbacks again, he does not tell her what happened. He lets her brain deal with it when her brain is ready to deal with it. And he's just there for her.
It's so lovely. And he's so supportive and he just listens. I mean, one of my favorite things is that in the silence, the way Beth O'Leary writes it, when they're on the phone with each other, talking things through, she's like, I just know that like some of Mo's silences, she's like, it's like he's sending me a hug. And I was like, I want to get a hug from Mo on the phone.
And the best thing about Mo is basically Mo and Gertie, if you have read the book ages ago, we'll remind you on who everyone is. Mo and Gertie are the two best friends who start living together, and they're like, we'll talk about her. They're obviously going out later. Tiffy was wrong there. Like, how was that not clear to her? But anyway, Mo and Gertie have a really interesting dynamic on the sidelines of this book, because Gertie is so like impulsive and kind of cranky and like in the most loving way.
Not say she's impulsive. She is like that woman who's like, I'm sticking to my schedule. Like, how dare you? Like,
yeah, impulsive is the wrong word. I think what I mean by that is like, I think she's socially impulsive. So like when Tiffy is like going through it or going, should I go back to Justin? Gertie just has no patience. She's like, what's wrong with you? No, don't do that.
Gertie is not afraid to rip you to shreds if she knows you're doing wrong. She's like, oh, Gertie is equally just as amazing. And like,
just as the fact like she loves Tiffy.
To everyone else, we all knew that her and Mo were going to get together, because they actually do balance each other out quite well.
Yeah.
But like, Gertie is, she's a powerhouse of a woman, but I'm kind of scared of her as well. She's terrifying.
I feel like she'd be the one who is like, a friend to you. But then when you're telling her how you messed up, I think she'd sit there with like one eyebrow raised and like she'd have a coffee in her hand and wouldn't sip it. She'd just wait till you're done.
I think it depends on what you messed up on. Like with Tiffy, she's very supportive.
Mm-hmm.
But in the sense of like she hates Justin for what he's done, but she doesn't blame Tiffy for any of it. Do you know? And I think that's very important that mm-hmm. there's no blame laid on Tiffy's door. It's something that she has had to go through, and her friends knew the signs that she was in an abusive relationship. But the advice that Mo gave Gertie was that like we can't step in. She needs to realize she needs to leave it by herself.
Yeah.
So
and I think Gertie is like the loyal firecracker.
She
I think she is like undoubtedly for the entire book, she is on Tiffy's side until she thinks she said yes to the marriage proposal. Yeah. And that's where she messes up.
To be honest, I think she'd be angry at anybody. Like your natural reaction would be anger.
But, yeah, because it looks like on the video that she said yes. And I love when Mo is like, do you really think Tiffy would say yes?
I know. But it's they're just so lovable. But we have to get to Tiffy and Leon. Cause like
okay. First of all, obviously the book starts with Tiffy's chapters. And we talked about this right before we filmed. And the only thing we kind of said to each other was how Tiffy's chapters were immediately lovable and Leon's took a bit to warm to them.
I personally think that's because of the writing style. So in Leon's chapters, it's written with very little pronouns, but as well, certain sentences will be shortened to really just display like going to shop.
And I thought of this a little bit on why that could be when we said we were going to do this, because that's something I wanted to touch on. And I wonder, like, he's a nurse.
Mm.
And kind of like policeman Gertie, it has to be written in shorthand because like his like, and then it's nice because like Tiffy is an editor writer, so she's used to fluffing it up and being really like lush with her language. Mm. And I guess he's just matter of fact, that's his position. And it's also kind of their personalities. Like Tiffy is very scattered and like all over the place and so excited about everything. And he's very calm and just able to rock and roll. He's just ready to go. It's all fine.
I think with Leon, for me, I thought immediately, I was like, oh, it's like shorthand. He's a nurse. He doesn't have time. Like,
yeah, he doesn't have time. Yeah.
And the other thing was, I was like, it's really showing off his character. I got immediately, I was like, Leon just seems anxious. I was like, anxiety is just brimming out of him. He's also like, his self-esteem is like in the toilet.
His ex-girlfriend.
He's working so hard, all that. So I think that's kind of the way it's written. Once you learn more about Leon, it completely makes sense.
And you just stop noticing it. You just accept that's Leon and you love him, and that's how simple it is. And I think as well, he's a very wounded character. Like his last relationship fails. You realize how big his heart is when he talks about his brother Richie. And again, if you cannot remember this book, Richie is in prison for a crime that he claims he didn't commit. And Leon believes him wholeheartedly and will do anything for him. And his last relationship before Tiffy actually like, but the cat, like the main catalyst for him and his ex to end their relationship is how frustrated she is by how much time she puts into Richie in prison, or how much time Leon puts into Richie in prison, because it's kind of like she's ready to wipe her hands of him. He's in jail. I can't do anything. But his love for his brother is bigger than anything else on the earth. And he asks her, like, do you think he did it? And I don't think she replies, if I remember.
I think it's pretty much by the end of the conversation, her stance on it is pretty clear. She doesn't believe him.
Yeah.
And they end the relationship. So I mean, there's all this going on, and the whole time, like with Leon and Tiffy, their only communication is post-it notes.
Oh, we have and to talk about the post-it notes.
So cute.
And I love how Tiffy notices that he's broken up with the girlfriend because of the way his writing changes.
But like the thing is, what I got with the post-it notes was that like they were so open, well, especially Tiffy, they were so open about sharing certain parts of their lives, but like their whole relationship thing, especially more with Tiffy's side, he knew that there was an ex-boyfriend, but he didn't know that anything, that it had been a bad relationship. And he only kind of realizes that after, I think, they meet in person and she tells him. And the same with him. She picked up that there was something going on with him, but she didn't know it was Kay, his ex-girlfriend, that they'd broken up. And, but I mean, their post-it notes are just so cute. And like,
oh, one thing, Becca, can we talk? It's Kay is the ex-girlfriend, isn't it?
Kay is the ex-girlfriend.
Can we talk about when Kay looks Tiffy up and down and decides she's not competition?
Bitch. So that's just something that like, it's irksome at the start. Because I mean, one thing I will say, Tiffy is tall. She's like 6 foot. And I was like, hello, tall woman.
I also love that like she's not, you know, like the typical protagonist, the typical anything in movies, in literature, in photography, it's all thin, like the, you know, it's the thin model-esque kind of beauty. And it's just, it's mentioned really lovely that Tiffy like is kind of like a mid-sized plus size girl. And she's like, and Leon adores her like
eventually. But when Tiffy applies for the flat chair, Kay is, we can immediately tell the relationship's not really steady enough, that Kay immediately is like, I'm handling it if it's going to be a woman. Like, you are not to be in contact with her. I'm going to check her out. And immediately when you hear those words, she's like, she's checking her out in case she's attractive. And she like eyes her up and down and she's like, you're fine. And like, she's frosty when Tiffy arrives at the flat. And as soon as she's like sees her, she's like, you're okay. Yeah. Like, and Tiffy knows, that's the thing. Tiffy knows that she's done this. And like, she's being evaluated.
Like Tiffy can read it. Like, she's like, this is the girlfriend. I'm clearly not hot enough to be competition in her mind. The end.
It's just, oh, it just got me so angry. I was like, for Tiffy's sake. Cause I mean, by this stage, we've been with Tiffy about a chapter or two already, and you're just so like, I would die for Tiffy.
We already love her.
Like, she is one of the most lovable characters because we've kind of talked about Leon, so we talked about Tiffy. Tiffy is this absolute gorgeous woman inside and out. Like, she is just so lovely and
her
caring.
Her wardrobe is crazy.
her wardrobe is, I just knew, I was like, Nikki's going to love the wardrobe. It is quirky. Like, she is just,
she's a cool girl, and she wears colored tights and knitted scarves.
And to be honest, I think her wardrobe would probably look absolutely amazing. Would I wear it? Absolutely not. But I will support her because like, she can put an outfit together and she knows what works. But she is just one of those characters that like, she's quirky, but she just completely is like comfortable in her own skin. By the end of the book, I think. Do you know?
Yeah, she's only like, I think she's always confident. But I think what I think of her confidence, it's not that she's confident in herself. It's that she doesn't put herself on a pedestal. Like, she doesn't really think about herself. She thinks about everyone around her.
Oh, she does. She's one of the most selfless people ever.
Yeah. And it's not really confidence in herself. It's literally, it doesn't matter what I look like. I have to do all, I have amazing people in my life I have to look after. And then eventually she starts to view herself that way as well. Yeah. Because Leon helps her too.
It is so lovely. And I mean, she has we've already talked about like her really supportive friends. And I mean, we can kind of see that she's completely undervalued at work. Like, she is earning pretty much minimum wage, which in London is not something you can survive on. And, you know, it's just.
And she loves her job enough to stay.
She does. She absolutely loves her job. And she deserves so much. And by the end of the book, when she gets everything, you're like, yes, absolutely. Yes. But it's, I just, oh, she's just so lovable. And I just, I loved her chapters. It was just like, oh, I just want to be her friend.
And I, what I love about Tiffy and Leon is every time their relationship kind of moves up a level and they get a little bit closer, it's always because of Tiffy's selflessness and Leon's. Like the first time they kind of interact properly is because she sees the scarves under his bed who were knitted by a man in the hospital that he looks after. And Tiffy immediately is like, I will buy these off you and I would love to employ this man. These are beautiful. And she immediately sets up like Leon with a bit of extra money and this man in the hospital with a job. Then the next time we kind of see her, she is kind of helping him, you know, like she's helping him with Richie. And she gets her friend Gertie, who is a lawyer, to kind of look at the case. And like, that's her next kind of big move to helping Leon. And then when she, oh, we have to talk about the love story that's happening in the background with, oh, Mr. Pryor. And
Mr. Pryor is the guy that crochets and knits in the,
oh yeah, that's the hospital. Same guy.
Yeah, oh. It's the same guy. And, Leon learns, like, he's very close with his patients, and Leon learns that he fought in World War II, and that Mr. Pryor had fallen in love with another soldier, and like it was a mutual love affair. They absolutely loved each other. And then I think your guy, the other guy, was deployed, but he just knows his name is Johnny White. And immediately, like, Leon's like, I will find him, because we kind of learned that Mr. Pryor is, his condition is deteriorating. And like, there was a point, because there was two patients and I was like, one of them's going to die. There was Holly, who's a 9-year-old, or sorry, she's eight, she's seven and has leukemia. And then there was Mr. Pryor.
Mm-hmm.
And I messaged Nikki, though, I think that was the first message I sent you after I said I started reading it. I was like, if anything happens to Mr. Pryor, Holly, I will riot.
Yeah.
And I mean, I was devastated, but it takes Leon on a journey. Like every weekend, he goes to Airbnbs all around the country trying to hunt down Johnny White's, this character.
It's a very common name, Mr. God Pryor. Love him.
And like, it's just such a lovely like subplot in the background. And oh, it's just, oh, it's just so
I love how Tiffy just kind of ends up inviting herself along.
I know. It's just lovely. I think another big point of the book that we haven't mentioned yet is Richie, really.
Oh, we have. I know. Richie's one of.
We've kind of mentioned it in kind of passing.
Yeah.
But Richie is Leon's brother that we've mentioned. And he is he's in prison at the start of the book. And we don't really find out what he's apparently done, allegedly done, for quite a long time. And it's in a letter to Tiffy, he tells her that he's in jail for armed robbery. And he describes what happened. He was on a night out and he got chatting to a woman that was dating a gang member. And then when he was leaving, he went into an off license to buy more beer and whatever. And he was like, he was clearly drunk, like swaying off and on, blah, blah, blah. And then after he leaves the off license, another guy comes in, hoodie up, and robs the place with holding a knife and all this.
And another guy walks in completely sober and robs the place.
Yeah, that's what I just said.
What? No, he didn't say he was sober.
Oh, well, he was sober.
Yeah. Like, your man was drunk in the off license, he leaves. Yeah. A sober man comes in with a hood, and apparently it is Richie. He gets pinned for it. And the whole like the start of the book, Leon and Richie are just waiting for like news off their I think it's free legal aid they're getting help by.
I don't know, is it free legal aid? Because the reason Leon has to rent out the flat is because he needs £350 a month to pay.
Oh shit, yeah. So he is paying for him.
So I mean,
but the fella they're paying for is just like when Gertie gets her hands on the file, she is like, this guy is incompetent. Yeah.
And I think that's a big kind of topic, a sub thing in itself throughout the book, is kind of the conversation on prison and the legal system in general, that Richie has literally gone through a miscarriage of justice and he is in prison. is he in prison about 6-7 months by the and time he hasn't Tiffy gotten gets involved? A trial. He has had a trial. He hasn't had his appeal yet.
Yes.
There's no date. The date's been pushed out, but like his lawyer hasn't gotten onto any information. Do you know, even in the his actual trial, Gertie brings up like so many things that just people
like there was no CCTV, there was no witnesses called.
It was just, it's a complete shock and, you know, horror really, that you're like, this is someone's life. Do you know, that's 8 years he got or something like that. And it's just insane. And mm-hmm. I think even, you know, when the phone conversations with Richie, I mean, you can tell nothing really needs to be said for us to know that his time in prison is horrific. Mm-hmm. And he kind of does talk about it later when he kind of says that, yeah, he was going through a huge thing of depression. And literally just, you know, because I mean, you're in a cell for hours and hours and hours. And like
you can see the disconnect and the way people kind of forget about him in there. Like he really, by the end of the book, he only really has Leon and Tiffy and his mom. Mm. That's all he kind of has in the world by the end of this. And Gertie.
Yes, and woo! Gertie. But I mean, it's just shocking. And I mean, it kind of, I think it's something that Beth O'Leary kind of brings up. And I don't know if a lot of people noticed it, but like the amount of times that Richie will be locked up for the whole weekend, you know, they won't be allowed outside or, you know, socializing with other inmates because there's not mm-hmm. enough guards. The whole mm-hmm. thing of like, you know, who knows when he's going to receive this letter because everything needs to be checked. And it's all kind of very subtly kind of talking about the prison system and the lack of funding that goes into it. The lack of awareness around, you know, inmate, the mental health of inmates when they're mm-hmm. there, the, you know, standard of care that they receive. I mean, it is absolutely appalling. And I mean, just, it is heartbreaking when you're reading about Richie and then when he admits what he's kind of gone through a little bit. Yeah. And that's really only touching the surface. That's one person's fictional experience, do you know? And I mean, I thought it was really well done. I mean, I like that she did it subtly. I just was like, oh no, burn the whole place down. This is like... protests and all this, but I mean,
know,
it's
like one of the only corners that's still sad when you finish the book is how he's definitely like, you know, he can't be the only one.
No, he's not, absolutely not. And I mean, yeah,
and that's the only I think that's the only stone that's left unturned, because that really is the only thing out of everyone's control.
Yeah, it's kind of a bigger issue that you can't take on single-handedly. And, you know, I mean, prison reform, there are so many people trying to work on it to this day, but I mean, mm-hmm. it's insane. And yeah, there's just so many things going on in this book, but it's just written so well. I mean, yeah. I just, oh, Beth O'Leary, I read The Switch first, which is her second book. But yeah, so I read The Switch and then I covered it on the podcast and then you read The Flatshare and then I was like, oh, I have to read that. I have a third book as well, The Road Trip, sitting on my bookshelves. Book. So I'm going to have to read that as well. But she's just amazing. Will we talk a little bit about Beth O'Leary and the inspiration she had behind this book?
Yes.
Which her website's actually really cool. I was having a look at it before, and she actually has all the different covers of her books from different countries up there, and it's so cute. I can show you because we're on Zoom. I would suggest I'm just after showing Nikki like the different covers from different countries around the world of the book, and it's something that like I don't really kind of think about, you know, you see authors sharing different covers and you're like, oh, that's cute, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's actually so nice to see it on her website, but her website is lovely, but she actually has kind of a Q&A section and she talks about the inspiration behind this book, and it is inspired by her own living situation. When she moved in with her boyfriend, who was when he was a junior doctor and he had to do a lot of night shifts, and she said we went days without seeing each other, and she's like, I was kind of inspired by that, but like, what if it was strangers having to do this? And I was like, wow. And she wrote it on her commute to work and everything like this. I was like, you queen, go woman. Like, it's just, queen. She is amazing. I was like, that is so interesting. But if you do want to read that Q&A on her website, it's lovely. I was literally, while I was waiting for Nikki to turn up on Zoom, I was reading it. I was like, oh.
I was not late.
No, you weren't. I was just early.
You were early.
But it was just really wholesome. I was like, I came away kind of even more slightly in love with Beth O'Leary.
I just think she's a great gal.
She deserves all the success. Yeah. And to be honest, I would absolutely want to see movies made of her books. Like even a TV series for like The Switch.
Yeah. All of her stuff would translate well. Would be such a good movie, like kind of like Devil Wears Prada.
Yes,
what?
But without Miranda Priestly in it.
Oh, Miranda should be Rachel, or not Rachel. Miranda should be, what's her boss's name? I've gone blank. Meryl Streep should be the author.
Her boss is never really in it. Oh, the author. That's not her boss.
Yeah, I know.
She shouldn't be Catherine.
I love Meryl Streep.
I don't know. I don't know who I could cast in like an actual movie version of this. Do you know? Mm. It's always hard.
No, I want Meryl someone Streep. Like... Who would be Tiffy? This is the question.
Well, I mean, immediately you have to think long red hair. And as well, she has to be like 6 foot. Because I mean, if they don't make her a 6 foot goddess, like, I'm not here for it. Immediately starts typing up 6 foot tough.
God. Do you know who I envisioned Tiffy as is that Instagrammer that I'm obsessed with her wardrobe, Charlotte Jacqueline.
Oh, okay.
If you've seen her.
Yeah. I have seen her.
If you don't follow Charlotte Jacqueline, you can follow her. And that's exactly how I envision Tiffy's wardrobe and Tiffy in general. But she just doesn't have the red hair.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll leave that to the casting agents. And then when they get it wrong, we'll be like, hey, sorry.
Fuck Charlotte Jacqueline. Okay, last question, Becca. Are you more a Tiffy or a Leon?
I would love to be a Tiffy. But I think I'm a Leon.
I think you're a lovely Leon with the best elements of Tiffy in like mixed in.
Thank you. Are you a Tiffy or are you a Leon?
I'm a Tiffy.
Oh, you absolutely are. I was like, you're so Tiffy.
It's just, I love the way she's just a human tornado. Well, that's how I related to it. You know, when she moves into the flat and he walks in for the first time and he's like,
everything, he's like, this stuff is garbage. My whole apartment's covered in garbage. She's just got tack
and awful, like awful furniture. Like it's just tack. Like,
so I mean, everywhere. Reading that gave us an insight into what Emmett has to go through every day when he comes home.
Exactly.
But yeah, you're a Tiffy. So
in the most chaotic way.
You are. But if you enjoyed that, please let us know.
Yes.
If you've read The Flat Chair, let us know. And like, if you want us to do book clubs on some of your favorite books, do let us know. And yeah, until next time.
Wait. Beth O'Leary, this is directly from my mouth to your ear holes. I love you very much. Thank you for writing The Flat Chair.
I love her too. Thank you for writing The Flat Chair and The Switch and The Road Trip when I eventually
Even though get to we read haven't it. Read it, but we love it very much. It's sitting on my bookshelf.
I'm trying to pace myself.
I don't want to read it until I know when her next book is out.
2022.
I don't want to be without her.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough.
We love you, Beth O'Leary, and thank you for this gift of a book and characters. I would love a sequel. You don't have to, but you should.
No pressure.
Even if there's no plot and I just get to watch them be happy, don't put any turmoil in. I'm delighted.
But until then,
yes. Thank you, Beth O'Leary.
Thank you, Beth O'Leary, and thank you to anybody who listened to this. And yes. Until next time. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Adios.